For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Natalie Powell. Venezuela's Supreme Court has been attacked by gunfire and grenades from a helicopter in what the country's president called a terrorist attack. There are no reports of anyone being injured or killed. The attack comes amid almost daily protests against the president as Venezuela grapples with economic and political instability. Juan Carlos Lamas has more from Caracas.
The incident took place in downtown Caracas near the Supreme Court of Justice, where explosions and gunfires were heard. The person who was flying the helicopter was identified as Oscar Perez, who belongs to Venezuela's security forces. According to authorities, he used his Instagram account to publish 5 videos where he sends a message to Venezuelans who do not agree with the government of President Nicolas Maduro. Venezuela's President Maduro said that the helicopter attack was nothing more than a terrorist attack. The opposition said it had nothing to do with the helicopter incident.
A vaccine has been created by security officials to protect against the cyber attack that spread through global organizations on Tuesday. But the major ransomware attack continues to cause serious disruption. It demands $300 in Bitcoin payments and was first reported in Ukraine, but has since spread to Russia, through Europe and into the US. Cybersecurity expert Luke Potter says applying patches to Windows systems can avoid infection.
It's more being aware of these attacks and protecting accordingly. So, for example, a patch for this vulnerability that's being exploited has been available from Microsoft since March 2017. You know, we've been recommending that to our clients through our vulnerability scanning for a long time. And where you have applied that patch, organizations are not falling victim to this latest strain.
Time magazine is requesting the Trump Organization golf clubs remove the photos that appear to show Donald Trump in 2009 on the cover of the iconic publication. The request to remove the fake images comes as the disagreements between the Trump White House and the media deepen. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
Time magazine confirmed to the Washington Post the 2009 image of Donald Trump on the cover of the publication is quite literally fake news. There was no issue published on March 1st. And the closest similar magazine has actress Kate Winslet on the cover. Time magazine has asked that the cover photos be removed from the Trump golf clubs. U.S. President Donald Trump himself continues to denounce reporters as fake news. Most recently, the New York Times for its reporting on how the negotiations over the stalled U.S. Senate health insurance legislation is going. Reporters are pushing back, specifically a correspondent for the Sentinel newspapers telling deputy spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders they're just trying to do their job and the White House is openly refusing to answer questions.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
What a circus it is, isn't it? The Trump presidency, what a circus, what a distraction from the real events and the real important things happening around the world. It's 3 minutes past the hour. It's Wednesday, the 28th of June, 2017. My name is Richie Allen. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's get on with what I think will be a pretty special program.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
And I have got two very special guests lined up for this program. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow join me live from Michigan. I can't wait for that. Renowned metaphysical researchers and intuitives. Stuart was on the program only a few weeks ago. I said we'd be asking him back real soon, and he said he'd bring Janet with him. She's hugely important. Is Janet to the work they do? We'll be discussing many things, their research into health and spirituality, and how universal law can be used to resolve pretty much everything going on in your life. And of course, when Janet and Stuart are on the programme, you can tweet to me with questions or points of view, and I will put them to both Janet and Stuart. Looking forward to that. It's going to be good. After a heavy news week, I thought it's about time we got into matters of consciousness and spirituality. No better people than Janet and Stuart to do that. Of course, we'll have a full news roundup in the next 20-25 minutes before we do that. Hope you're well. Hope you've had a good old Wednesday. The rain returned, and it returned with vengeance. It's been miserable in the northwest today. Miserable old day, but cool and refreshing. I like that, you see, when you work indoors all the time in a studio with several computers and it's warm all the time, it's nice to have that breeze coming through the window. We're live on davidicke.com, obviously Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio, as well as richieallen.co.uk. And I want to start off today with an email that I got from a listener yesterday. I'm going to call him Colin. I can't say his name because he's a producer at RTE, Radio Telefish Éireann, which is the Irish national broadcaster. And I'm not going to read all of the email because it might give him away. But I'm going to read some of it. And the reason I'm going to read some of it is because we often talk about the media and the men and women who work within it. And we often talk about presenters in the media and we criticise them. I'm not trying to say the royal we, I do, but other producer creators, content creators in the independent media do the same. So just a little bit of what Colin wrote to me. He wrote, "Richie, I've been listening to your show on podcast for about 2 years now, and I find I can't stomach the bullshit of ordinary radio or television anymore. I'm walking a tightrope working for the national broadcaster, as you can appreciate, especially when I work on news and current affairs programmes. The level of ignorance from editors / producers who are towing the company line is astounding. In work, I call it out when I can, especially during the UK's exit from the EU. It is astounding to see and hear the liberal narcissists do a tailspin when you challenge the holy gospel of the European Union. The mask slips," writes Colin. "Particularly close to home at the moment is the deal between the Democratic Unionist Party and the Conservatives to form the Queen's Parliament. If the European Union is so full of brotherly love for its member states, why has it sat on its hands since its inception regarding contentious states, i.e. Northern Ireland, Cyprus, Catalonia, etc., where there is a dispute about national status, absorb these states as independent states of the EU. But the deal breaker, fund them. Simple, they become autonomous states within the Union." Ah, but that's not what the Nazi superstate is about, is it? "I'm not nationalist, Richie, but that's not a dirty word either, as they want us to believe. The Conservative government don't give a tinker's damn. Oops, un-PC, but feck it. The Conservative government didn't or don't give a tinker's damn about Northern Ireland and would cut them adrift in a flash if it suited. But our sash and drum-beating brothers are blinded in their serfdom. Lastly, Richie, I'm glad to hear you knew Gerry Ryan. I grew up listening to him. It was a love-hate relationship, but I miss his in-your-face approach. If only. But enough of that. I'm proud to hear your Irish voice shouting from the barricades. You are the kind of broadcaster we need at RTE, but I know it's a paradox." And he goes on to say, tongue-in-cheek, "Don't stop swearing or ranting. It puts you a cut above the other inhuman puppets." That was from Colin. And I was delighted to get that email, and Colin made a donation to the radio programme as well, which I'm profoundly grateful for, and I did thank him very much for doing it. Now, people like Colin, working in national and commercial media, who can see through the bullshit, and they toil, and they do toil, and they do their best to get certain items on the agenda. They push for real debate on the programmes they work on. These men and women exist. And you might remember David and I doing a programme on that. There are great men and women fighting tooth and nail within the mainstream media to get genuine debate and genuine topics on the agenda and on the programme schedule. Sometimes they succeed in doing that, but it's very difficult. As I found out when I worked in mainstream and commercial media, and you know, when you do finally persuade your team, when you do finally persuade the managing editor or the senior producer and presenter to put somebody on the air who was asking very serious questions. Well, they'll only get 5 minutes, won't they? And 5 minutes is not enough, and the presenter is urged to drag them down in argument and to constantly interrupt them, to muddy the waters, to muddy the debate. So it's a nice compliment, but I wouldn't be any use on RTE or any other major platform. Whether I'm a competent presenter or not, and that's not for me to say, that's subjective. It's up to you to decide whether I'm any good. But I wouldn't be any use on national media because I wouldn't last very long. I would be on my bike very quickly. You see, these presenters are looking at the camera, reading the audio cue, while they're interviewing a man or a woman, and a producer is berating them in their ear, telling them what to say and what to do. That's the way it works. Massive thanks to Colin for that email. Remember, folks, they're not all shills in the mainstream media. They're up against it. They're battling for their jobs, for their careers. And walk a mile in somebody's shoes before you criticise what they do and what they don't do. Thank you again for that email. Now, Jeremy Corbyn was at Prime Minister's questions today. It was the first PMQs after the election. And he squarely laid the blame for the Grenfell Tower fire at the feet of the government and its austerity policies. Have a listen to what Jeremy Corbyn had to say. You will hear him, then you will hear the response from Prime Minister Theresa May.
I was simply making the point, which seems to have upset a lot of members opposite, that when you cut local authority budgets by 40%, we all pay a price in public safety. Fewer inspectors, fewer building control inspectors, fewer planning inspectors, we all pay a price. And, Mr. Speaker, those cuts to the fire service have meant there are 11,000 fewer firefighters. The public sector pay cap is hitting recruitment and retention right across the public sector. What the tragedy of Grenfell Tower has exposed is the disastrous effects of austerity. This disregard for working class communities, the terrible consequences of deregulation and cutting corners, I urge the Prime Minister to come up with the resources needed to test and remove cladding, retrofit sprinklers, properly fund the fire service and the police so that all our communities can truly feel safe in their own homes. Mr. Speaker, this disaster must be a wake-up call.
The cladding of tower blocks did not start under this government. It did not start under the previous coalition government. The cladding of tower blocks began under the Blair government.
Yeah. Corbyn and May today talking about austerity. They were screaming, shame on you from the Tory benches. But whether you like or dislike Corbyn, and I'm indifferent, he's right, isn't he? Local councils were underfunded to the point of strangulation, affecting the maintenance of the buildings and cutting corners. We heard a lot about that in the last couple of weeks. Also, the police and fire brigades were cut, although nobody, especially me, is suggesting there was a lack of manpower on the night. I'm not saying that at all. Cuts, cuts, cuts and more cuts. Here's a story that should interest you. Speaking of cuts, the British Medical Association is warning today that nearly 23 million people in England, which I think is around a third of the population, more than 40% of the population. I should have read my own script. More than 40% of the population. This isn't funny, by the way. More than 40% of the population could be affected by proposed cuts to A&E departments. That's from the doctors themselves. Now, the analysis of NHS plans by the British Medical Association also warned the changes were being rushed through without any evidence they will work at all. Now, these proposals for these cuts, which will affect 23 million people, might mean life and death for people who need accident and emergency. These proposals even have been put forward by local managers who want to make savings under the direction of NHS England. Savings, my arse. What do we say every time we hear a story like this? You and I, we sing the same old song, don't we? Destroy the NHS in order to privatise it later on. Same old, same old. Back to Grenfell Tower. This is deadly serious. Cladding from 120 high-rise buildings in 37 local authority areas has now failed fire safety tests, according to Theresa May. She said today it was a 100% failure rate, as all of the samples submitted so far since the Grenfell Tower fire had failed. All of them. Every single sample had failed. She urged local authorities and housing associations to get on with the fire safety checks. Presumably, they are responding to her by saying, send us some money, maybe. Now, again, at Prime Minister's questions today, Jeremy Corbyn asked Theresa May, this is very important, whether the cladding on Grenfell Tower was legal. And May repeated several points, and she repeated several times, that it wasn't compliant with building regulations. But we can't say too much, said May. The wider investigation needs to focus on how it had come to be used on so many buildings across the country. This is the line they're trotting out all the time. Well, yeah, it wasn't compliant, but we can't say too much. We have to wait for the investigation. How could non-compliant cladding be placed on all of these buildings? Do you want to know how that happens? Well, I don't think I need to tell you. I think you know anyway. Deregulation. Deregulation, which another way of saying deregulation is the bribing of public officials by massive businesses. And people die. And the whole point of the cladding on these buildings, by the way, which was never necessary, there were two reasons for the cladding. Reason one, make the buildings more palatable to the rich feckers living in the area so that they don't have to look at the poor. And two, divert money away from maintaining the buildings because they wanted people out. I know you're tired of it. But as long as this story is running, we have to keep saying it. Their bullshit gets repeated 500 times a day until it sinks into the brains of people. We've got to keep repeating. They wanted to tear down those buildings. Which means what? That every one of the housing ministers who didn't see through the implementation of the recommendations made by the coroner of the inquest into the Lackenhall House fire, every one of the ministers who ignored recommendations after the Lackenhall House fire is a motherless bastard. But I'm going to say murderers. They're murderers. They are murderers. They were told to retrofit sprinklers, but they ignored it because their party donors, their benefactors, lobbied them not to do that. End of story. So you are an accessory to murder when you ignore the recommendations made by a coroner after a fire like the Lackenhall House fire, when they said you've got to retrofit these buildings with sprinklers. You didn't do it because your money men and women, these massive property developers, billionaires, who give you money to get elected, told you not to do it. You are guilty of murder after the fact. You're an accessory. After the fact. You're an accessory before the fact, even. Anyway, 18 minutes past the hour. Now, the Tory MP, Philip Davies, had a good question for his colleague, the Prime Minister, today. He asked her, why do we send so much money overseas through state aid? Money that could be used to help British people in need. This was at PMQs. You will hear Philip Davis even, and you will hear Theresa May's response.
The repeated claim that spending ever-increasing amounts of money on overseas aid keeps this country safe has been shown by recent events to be utter nonsense. Can I tell the Prime Minister that spending more and more money on overseas aid each year does not make us look compassionate to the public? It makes us look idiotic to the public when that money is much needed in the United Kingdom. So can she promise to slash the overseas aid budget, spend it on priorities in the UK? I hope she doesn't have a strange political aversion to pursuing any policies that might be popular with the public.
Well, I can assure my honourable
I can assure my honourable friend that I don't have that aversion, but on this issue, I do take a different view. I think it is important that given the position that we hold, given the state of our economy as one of the largest economies in the world, that we are actually recognised that we can help those around the world. We are seeing millions of people, and particularly girls, being educated as a result of the action that we are taking. I think that is important, and it is important. I recognise what my honourable friend has said, that we have suffered from terrible terrorist attacks here in the United Kingdom. Our services have also foiled a number of terrorist attacks in recent months, and going back over recent years too.
Theresa May is a record-breaking liar. Her foreign aid goes to educating young girls. What a liar Theresa May is. I work for a living. I work for you. And part of that work is finding out where our foreign aid goes. Do you want to know where our foreign aid goes? You're not going to like it. Maybe one or two of you will know, but many of you won't. It goes on vaccines. It goes on vaccines. It really does. No, it really goes on vaccines. 14 billion quid, 37% of which is given to the UN. The rest is called bilateral aid, and it's given to developing countries. But wait, wait for this. Developing countries receive it, but there's a caveat on the money. They have to spend it with some of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world. Isn't it marvellous? Isn't it lovely? And by the way, our government enshrined this in law, this annual giveaway of billions. Why did they enshrine it in law? Because Bill Gates and the World Bank told our government to do that. And they did do that. And you can guess who told Bill Gates and who told the World Bank what to tell David Cameron and Theresa May. You can guess who told them that. Yes, surname begins with R and ends in D. Back in 2011, David Cameron outlined and wrote a cheque for £814 million to vaccinate more than 80 million children around the world in impoverished countries. That is where our foreign aid goes, to massive pharmaceutical companies. GlaxoSmithKline, Merck and all the rest of them. Lunacy. It's lunacy, isn't it? It boils my blood. People are screwed here. Sick people. People in wheelchairs, sanctioned for not being available for work. They commit suicide because of the harassment. And we send billions overseas in aid, and it isn't even aid. It's vaccines, and when it's not being spent on vaccines, guess what it's being spent on? It's being spent on GM crops. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. That's where your foreign aid goes. So fair play to Philip Davies for asking the question. What could we do with £14 billion a year? What could we spend it on? Because I have no problems helping people whom are hungry in parts of the world due to famine or whatever. I've no problem with that at all. But we don't do that. We buy vaccines. Right. And I think to myself. Here's an interesting study today. Britain was more Eurosceptic after the Brexit referendum than at any point in the previous 33 years. This was discovered by the British Social Attitudes Report, which has been running since 1983. They said Britain emerged from the referendum far more sceptical about the European Union than it had ever been previously. And apparently, according to various studies done by various newspapers, the scepticism hasn't gone away. In the immediate aftermath of the vote last year, more than three quarters of Britons, 76%, backed leaving the European Union or reducing its powers. That was a gain. It was two-thirds in 2015. It went up to 76% last year. And it has not changed. So despite all the nonsense you hear about people changing their minds, it seems that British people are more determined than ever to leave the European Union. Here is Peter Bone, MP, addressing this subject in the Commons today.
I wonder if the Prime Minister has an opportunity to see the British Attitude Survey today, which stated that 75% of British people wanted to leave the EU, up 20% from last time. She will, of course, know that more than 80% of the British electorate voted for parties that want to leave the EU. She will also know from her extensive canvassing, and mine, I know personally, that thousands and thousands of people tell me the referendum decided the issue, just get on and leave the EU. And would she assure the House that she will make that her priority?
My honourable friend is absolutely right. What I have seen across the whole of this country is a real unity of purpose from people. Regardless, for most people, regardless of how they voted in the referendum, their view is the decision has been taken, just deliver it, and that's what this government will do.
And yet The Guardian and The Independent and all the crazy liberal media, the lefty press, will continue to tell you that the election that we just had was decided on Brexit, that people rejected hard Brexit. They didn't. They rejected the suicidal manifesto put forward by the Conservative Party, which now people like David Davis, who's the Brexit Secretary, is coming out screaming about. You know, a lot of those MPs have no idea why they went to bat with that crazy manifesto, talking about cutting social care and making people mortgage their house in old age to pay for necessary social care. 26 minutes past the hour. Now, the Pentagon, or the Pentacon, says they've got evidence that Bashar al-Assad and his army are preparing chemical attacks. We're hearing this all week long. They say they've seen activity at a base that was used for a sarin attack in April. Similar activity, they say. No pictures, no video, nothing. Just take their word for it, despite the fact that Seymour Hersh's excellent article highlighted the fact that their own intelligence said there was no evidence that Assad was behind any sarin attack back in April. It's ramping up now, isn't it? They won't leave this one go. And yesterday, the warmonger Michael Fallon, the UK Defence Secretary, who said he'd love to join the US in striking at Assad. He seemed pissed off, didn't he, that we weren't invited for the ride in April. Well, today, Michael Fallon, the Defence Secretary, has been saying that we should, or we could, militarily attack somebody using conventional weapons if we thought they were responsible for a cyber attack. I'm not joking, this is true. Listen to Ortiz Polyboyko.
Essentially, he's said that Britain could respond to cyber attacks with conventional weapons. And he was speaking at a conference at a security think tank in London just as this huge cyber attack was spreading across the globe. And the head of Britain's MOD, he sounded this very strong warning to potential attackers by saying that a strike on UK systems could invite a response from any domain, air, land or cyberspace. It does sound rather problematic. First of all, a cyber attack doesn't necessarily have to be perpetrated by a nation state. It could be a huge criminal organisation or even an individual. How you're going to strike those isn't clear. And second of all, if you take a look over some of the more recent WikiLeaks revelations, in particular Vault 7, which is all about the sorts of hacking tools that the US intelligence has at its disposal, it shows that the CIA can make cyber attacks look as though they were perpetrated by other countries. And if we know that, I think it's pretty safe to assume that there are other intelligence agencies that can do the same. So ascertaining who is responsible and for what is a very difficult, if not in some cases, impossible process. And when you add this possibility of retaliating with conventional weapons into the mix, well, it might sound like a very strong warning in theory. How you make it work in practice, though, isn't quite clear.
She's very good, Polly Boyko. She's right. They can make it look like an enemy is behind a cyber attack and then fire conventional weapons against them. Michael Fallon is a madman. They're all mad. And every one of them is hell-bent on killing as many people as they can while they are still in office. I really believe that. It's a game. When they're retired, they'll be playing golf at the Belfry, or Lytham or Royal St. Anne's or St. Andrews or wherever, and they'll be playing golf and they'll be smoking cigars and they'll be asking, how many did you kill, Jeremy, when you were in charge of the NHS? How many did you kill? I think about 3 million. What about you, Boris, Foreign Secretary? How many people did you kill? I reckon about 2.5 million people there. What about you, Michael Fallon? Millions. I stopped counting at 10. Oh, marvellous. Marvellous. Lunacy. Lunatics. 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 Michael Fallon. If we suspect somebody has used a cyber attack against us, we might or we could use conventional weapons against them. What a madman. What a madman. I'm leaving it there. It's exactly 1:30 the hour. I'm going to take a very quick break. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio back in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Absolutely great to have your company. Thanks for choosing the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. Stuart and Janet Swerdlow are standing by in Michigan and will join me in a couple of minutes' time. I'm very excited about this, and so are you. Please tweet questions and comments for Stuart and Janet. Please do that, because we've got plenty of time. They will be with me right up until the end of the programme. Great to get into consciousness and matters of spirituality after such a hard news week. It really is. I'm really looking forward to this. So while we wait for them to come on, I've got some music from Len. This is Len and Steal My Sunshine. This is pretty appropriate, this, in light of the fact is that it's been chucking it down, raining cats and dogs all day long. Live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio and richieallen.co.uk. This is your Richie Allen Show. Stuart and Janet Swerdlow on the way. Remember, tweet at Richie Allen Show. Let me know what you're thinking. And questions and comments for Stuart and Janet are more than welcome. This is top radio in terms of music anyway. I love this.
Does he like butter tarts?
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged, all laced and bugged, it's all twisted wrong and beat.
I did once before, but this is pretty bad.
Yeah, what do you think she got up to last night?
Jared! I love you!
I was flying on the bench, sliding in the park across the street. LA to ER that week. My sticky bonds were in the making, so I was at a big festival with the jeans. Incredible light for heat. Now the funny plan, the family meeting, they're in stereo.
25 minutes to the top of the hour. Steal My Sunshine from Len on your Richie Allen Show in association with davidike.com. Broadcasting live on Fab Radio 2 as well in the great city of Manchester. Wet Manchester. Lovely and mild, but wet Manchester. Now let's welcome our only guests to the programme this evening. They are renowned metaphysical researchers and intuitives. They really are. Check out their website, expansions.com. I'm going to tweet that and put it on Facebook for those of you unfamiliar with their work. Many of you, of course, are familiar with their work, but for those new to it, expansions.com. We're going to talk about a lot in the next, I suppose, 70, 75 minutes or thereabouts, and you can tweet questions and comments to at Richie Allen Show. Their research into health and spirituality is fantastic, and they use universal law, and we'll talk about that, to resolve pretty much everything to do with your health, your well-being, relationships and more besides. I'm thrilled to welcome back to the programme Stuart Swerdlow, but for the first time, absolutely thrilled to welcome Stuart's wife Janet as well. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Richie. How are you?
Thank you, Richie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Janet, it's an honour. I've heard so much about you over the years from David and from other people, and here you finally are. It's about time. Thanks for coming
on. Well, I'm happy to be here, that's for sure.
Well, it's marvellous. Folks, go to expansions.com after the programme. Bookmark the website. There's a lot of free and very important information on there as well as links to the writings, the books and everything that Stuart and Janet have done for many years. We're getting a lot of tweets coming in about a lot of different subjects. Do you know where I wanted to start? I wanted to start about anger and the positive and negative aspects of anger. I say that because we've seen a lot of anger lead to people going out and voting for various candidates in the last year or so in various political elections. And some of those candidates, of course, well, probably most of them, turn out not to be what people hoped they would be. But I take the positives out of that. And I think a lot of that anger has come from a positive place where people are sick to the back teeth of corruption, of sleaze, of, interference in their lives. And I think there's a lot to be taken out of that. And that anger might be something that can be used to make something very positive. Janet, what do you think?
Well, I think that what you're saying is very interesting because I do study the mind patterns that are being twisted and turned by the global elite. And anger is a very base anger, and it can be used for positive, as you say. For example, sometimes when people are really angry, that's when they get busy and they start cleaning their houses, or they say, I'm not taking this anymore and I'm making changes, and so on and so forth. And there is justified anger, as you're talking about, when people think they're getting something that they're not. And so I can justify it. However, the issue with anger is it destroys the cellular structure. So whenever you are angry for any reason, shape or form, it starts destruction of the cellular structure itself. And that is why I talk to people about pushing all that, what is actually the color of is red. It has a tone, just like I'm sure you are familiar with the researcher, Emoto?
Yes.
The water researcher, that when he said bad or negative things toward the water crystals, how that they came out in the photographs, very ugly and distorted. When you do the same thing and have those feelings in your body, it does it that to your body because your body is about 80% water. And so you start destroying it. Therefore, you have to take care of your own mind pattern, and things on the outside world are going to reflect, and that is the only way that the changes can happen in the political structure. So while anger does get people up and motivated and looking at things, the next step is to remove that, release it, and correct what's going on within yourself, and that is what is going to create different political candidates and different political options within society itself.
Incredible. So anger has a physiological effect on people, an absolute biological and physiological effect, not just on us, presumably, Janet, but on the people around us as well. Let me ask you this, and by the way, and I'm not being flippant at all here, I mean this, Stuart, don't wait to be asked to join in, obviously. I'm quite happy for you guys to take over the programme now for the next 70 minutes and talk about whatever you want to talk about. We're delighted to have you on. So Stuart, you just jump in and out, and Do whatever you want to do. Janet, on that, both of you on that, you'll be aware of the former BBC television presenter Noel Edmonds, who presents, he was the guy who presented Deal or No Deal here in the UK. And I like Noel, he's a very interesting guy. And he talks about and thinks about a lot of metaphysical things. I'm sure he's come across your work, Noel. He was criticised, wasn't he, very heavily last year by the British establishment and the media, because Noel suggested that feelings of anger and hatred can in fact make you incredibly ill, and illnesses like cancer and stuff like that. And of course, he was hammered for saying that. What do you think of that?
I absolutely agree with him, and that's the basis of a lot of things that both Stuart and I teach, because the one of the biggest things that can create cancer is actually resentment, held resentment in the body. And so we teach you how to go in, how to see where that originated from, how to release it, how to move on from that. Because as I just said, just that simple example of when you look at these crystals that have been photographed, the same things happen within your own body when you have the anger, the resentment, the hate, the bitterness within you. So when the elites stir up these animalistic feelings within you and you go out screaming and yelling and banging and protesting, you're destroying yourself. And in my opinion, they have just put you in a bigger box. And that's what people don't realize. They think, wow, I have power. I can protest. I'm being heard. But really, they're leading you down another path and putting you in a bigger box. And you are going to be sick. And then they can experiment on you. And then you're going to wonder what happened. Wow. Because as we've talked about earlier, just a few minutes ago, you feel very justified in your right to do this. And it does empower you to a degree because it gets you off of your bottom and it gets you moving. But the next step is, what am I doing and why? And am I making a difference in the world? And how am I affecting myself?
Wow.
And also, Richie, I say that, of course, anger and any negative emotion is a great motivator, because if people are too comfortable, they don't change anything. They just sit still and let everything happen. And my latest term that I use is, you have to feel it to heal it. So once you feel the anger or whatever emotions you have, you need to understand what it is and then work on the release part of it. But what's very important about the anger that we're seeing in the world today, or even in personal relationships, is that whatever makes you angry and upset is coming from within you. And remember, I always use that analogy, which I think I mentioned on the last time I was on your show, where the thoughts are like film, the brain is the projector, and physical reality is the screen. So whatever you're thinking about, the film is being projected out into your world. So when you're reading about something or seeing something on the news and it makes you angry and upset, you must ask yourself, what within my own being is there that I don't look at? And so I'm projecting it out into the world, and that's what makes me angry. And so you need to look within in order to change the outside world.
You know, and David gave us some very good advice many, many years ago when Stuart and I were very upset because so many people were attacking us and so forth. And, you know, we were out there and we were trying to remove websites and so on. And David said to us, you know what? If you remove one, another one will pop up. And that's exactly correct. So we took his advice, we moved on with that, and we ignore the naysayers, because the thing is, if you feed it, it grows. And if you ignore it, well, that's their issue, it's not mine.
Yeah, of course.
Another thing David said to me that time, he says to me, you know, Stuart, that's why they have a delete button on your computer.
That's right. Yeah. You know, he's been saying that to me for years. I want to stick with this rage thing and anger. I'll tell you why. Because this weekend, a million people are expected to descend on London from various unions, workers, people campaigning for the rights of people with disabilities to be treated properly, workers' rights, people who want the National Health Service to not be destroyed the way it is. And there was a big debate going on this afternoon on my Twitter feed, because I try not to be negative and I'm generally a positive guy. But I said to a friend of mine who's in Manchester, I said, the problem with the million people who will attend the march in London is that they will go home. They will go and they will vocally talk about and shout about what it is that's wrong and why it's so corrupt and it needs to be changed, but they will go home. But you're saying, Stuart and Janet, that there's also something else going on there as well, that maybe going to these massive events and, you know, showing your anger, because they even call these things rage marches. That isn't necessarily the right thing to do, and it might have negative physiological consequences for yourself. That will be controversial with some of our listeners, but I think I know where you're going with it. Go ahead.
Well, on top of that, like exactly what you said about your own physical self, I will tell you that anger is generated through psychic energy. Psychic energy is different than universal energy. Universal energy is what is available to everyone through your own source. Psychic energy is the energy that runs your body. And that's why when people scream and yell and get angry, they get very, very tired. So that will happen. But on top of that, I will tell you, if a million people come together and they show their rage and all of this horribly dark red anger energy emanates from this crowd, this psychic energy will be captured by the global elite and it will be turned against those, because what you give out comes back to you. Psychic energy is yours. So you're putting it into the collective unconscious. That means it's going to come back and it's going to hurt you at some point when you least expect it. So in my opinion, the best revolution you can do is at home, taking care of yourself, your family, your loved ones, your job, your careers, your relationships. And that is the only thing that's going to change the world. If you took away those elite that are running the world right now, there would be another set to take its place. And I will tell you why. Because it is the mind pattern of the populace that generate what will rule them, because they cannot rule themselves. So therefore, you take away one thing, just like what David told us. You take away this website, another one will pop up. You take away this set of global elite and another set will pop up, because it is the people that are dictating the leadership, not vice versa.
This is great, Stuart. Stuart, do you want to elaborate on this? Because this is controversial stuff, even though I agree with Janet. I believe, you know, I'm not as experienced as Janet, but I know deep down, I know she's right. But some of our listeners, they won't like hearing this, you know, because I suppose people listen so far, and at a certain point in a sentence, they've heard what they didn't want to hear. They don't hear the rest of it. And they'll think, well, it's our fault that we have these elites, these crazy, murdering, torturing lunatics that are ruling us. But of course, that's not what Janet is saying. It's not that it's our fault. Elaborate on that, Stuart. And we're getting loads of tweets, and I'll have to read some tweets in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I understand. And that's because, unfortunately, a lot of people out there are not willing to take responsibility for what's going on in their own lives. And that's the movie and the thought processes I was talking about before that are projected out. But I've always stated in my lectures and seminars that the human species as a collective has a victimization mentality as the foundational mind pattern. And so both collectively and individually, people project out victimization. And as we know, the Illuminati or any power out there is more than happy to fulfill the role of victimizing them.
You know, and the other interesting thing is that when I first started my work many years ago, before I even knew Stuart existed, I thought, here I have all these positive things and people are going to love me and they're going to love the information. And, you know, I was called the most vile names in the book I can possibly imagine, because they had issues with their parents that they couldn't resolve. So therefore, they took them out on me. And therefore, they expected me to fight back, which I refuse. But people cannot deal with what's going on within them, so they need a place to dump. And as I said, it's their psychic anger. It affects the collective unconscious. It affects everything. And people do not realize that because they've not been taught that way. The global elite do not force them. They prepare the way, and then the people willingly walk down these paths. And then the global elite has their way. And that is why they are still in power, because they use universal law, much more so than the populace.
Brilliant stuff. I'm going to just remind people, go to extensions.com and do bookmark it as an important website. We've got Janet and Stuart Swerdlow on the line from Michigan. Delighted to have them back, to have Stuart back on, and thrilled to meet Janet. This is cutting-edge stuff we're talking about here, folks. Loads of tweets. I'm going to read a few tweets quickly. There is a brilliant question about sleep paralysis from JP, but I'm going to leave that for about 10 minutes' time. I won't forget it because either Janet or Stuart will remind me, but it's a brilliant question about sleep paralysis. Even in the meantime, a couple of comments coming in from our listeners. Luga tweets, these marches are designed to power the grids of the city and fill the ritual or full the ritual of the dragon lines. That's from Luga there. Mark Morrison has a terrific question about dreams. Again, we'll come back to that because it's going to require a longer answer. Ken Morton tweets, ultimately, will the highest force of consciousness triumph over the global elite? Again, we might want to come back to that. Massive amount of tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, by the way. Tiger tweets, I'm convinced that anger and resentment was one of the main contributors to my cancer. That's from Tiger, who's busily writing a second tweet, a follow-up to that tweet as well. Yvonne asks for any advice on resolving anger, one that's been dragged with them from childhood. Anger that's dragged with you through your life from childhood onwards. Loads of great tweets there. Want to come to that sleep paralysis question in a minute. Resolving anger then, Stuart and Janet. Stuart, go ahead. As you know, a kind of a cliff note version to how do you begin to resolve anger, to expel it?
Well, you know, I wrote my book Decoding Your Life, believe it or not, almost 40 years ago. And that book is all about universal law. And it has an entire chapter on how to deal with anger, bitterness, resentment, and hate. And that all is a function of the red energy. And if you pass that out through the top of your head, up into your source, and let it flow and flow and flow and flow. And then whatever comes into your mind's eye, that is what you deal with it. And obviously, I wrote a whole book on it. There's a whole chapter on this specific thing. But we also talk about then you have to replace it. Because if you remove something, you have to put something else in. So we use medium green, which is emotional healing and balance. And we also use pale pink has to come back in from your source, which is unconditional love and acceptance of self. So you take something out, you put something in. We talk about boundaries. We talk about how to pull in your energetic field. We talk how to correct things, how to balance your chakra. Stuart has a great book, Healer's Handbook. We have Hyperspace Helper, Hyperspace Plus, Healing Archetypes and Symbols. And we have our website where we talk about a lot of these on our forum where Stuart and I are on there every single day helping people grow. We have our webinars. But Decoding Your Life is the best place to start, along with Hyperspace Helper, Child Within Exercise, which Stuart uses, fantastic.
And the Golden Altar Release work to actually remove the mind patterns that are embedded that project out this negativity and anger, which could have started in childhood, or you could have brought it in from another lifetime. It could also have been created through mind control and programming. But even, no matter what the origin, there are exercises and techniques to remove it.
Yes, we also talk about this. I was taught in school, at least, you cannot learn by osmosis, but I found out you can. And that also means that you can absorb the mind pattern of other people. And when that happens, you also have to find that and differentiate that frequency from your own frequency. And that also has to be pulled out. Most people have no idea who they are and what they sound like and what has influenced them. And that is what Stuart and I teach people to do, how to go into yourself, how to find out what's in your own field, and how to remove it in a way that you can handle. For example, if you were born with three legs and you know that you are only supposed to have two, but you're used to walking with three legs, when you surgically remove that third leg, it's very challenging for that person. So even though you're only supposed to have two, it just takes some time. So this isn't usually something that happens overnight. It is a process so that you can learn to stand on those two legs and teach yourself and hear who and what you are and therefore fulfill your mission and purpose on this earth.
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. And again, lots of tweets coming in. We will get to more tweets a little bit later, but let's go to JP's question. And it's over to both of you. You can answer this together or take it in turns, or if it's specifically for one of you. JP tweets simply, is sleep paralysis slipping in and out of consciousness? Now, I wonder, does he mean levels of consciousness? He says he removed his own sleep paralysis with DMT. I think he means the psychedelic DMT, but he doesn't have any answer. Stuart, what do you think?
Okay, that's a very interesting question, and I've been dealing with that topic for quite a number of years with many people. First of all, sleep paralysis is a natural procedure. Your brain produces a chemical at night to paralyze the body so that during the dream state, you don't move around and hurt yourself. Now, when you wake up within a split second, that chemical is supposed to dissipate, and then you have a normal condition again. And some people, due to physical issues, perhaps, or mind patterns, the chemical does not dissipate. And so they remain paralyzed, and something else kicks in the brain for them to see objects, people, things, etc. Again, it could be a mind control programming issue. It could be a physical problem. It could be an emotional problem. So there's no one standard answer because it depends on the person. And I would have to look at each individual who has this issue to determine what their actual cause is and what they particularly need to remove it. But I would recommend anyone who does suffer from this to look into the book Hyperspace Helper and use the Brown merger symbol, which will dissipate this if it's a programming issue. If that doesn't work, then we need to look at physical issues and possibly issues that are related to even something as extreme as alien abduction.
What do you think, which is hugely interesting, what do you think about JP's use of the psychedelic DMT?
Yeah, I'd never recommend using narcotics or drugs of any kind because they could actually, if you have a programming issue, that can make it worse and lead to other things. And if it's a physical issue and your body has a negative reaction to that, you could be in a lot of trouble.
And the other thing that happens is alcohol and drugs, specifically illegal, but even prescription drugs, actually help loosen the chakra bands from your body. So therefore, people really are not in their body and they don't come back. And it's very challenging. They're more open to astral entities and astral influence, as well as, again, absorbing things that they may not want from other people, astral attachments, all kinds of things. And that's why this agenda is being pushed right now by the elite, because it is going to be part of New World Religion. So there's a lot of things going on out there. They get people to fight for their rights, again, using that anger, and then they let them win. Well, how about that? Now we have legal pot in here in the U.S. and a variety of states, and it's not a positive thing unless you need it for health reasons. That's entirely different than just doing it because you can.
Right. And in fact, the states that have legalized marijuana have a higher car accident rate, a higher suicide rate, a higher murder rate, and all negative events have risen since the legalization of that.
And yet we hear from so many different people, people that you and you guys know well and I know well, that we would consider friends, who talk, you know, so highly about the positive effects of the oil, of the THC oil. And of course, you're going to tell me now that's a completely different thing, right, than getting stoned.
Well, yeah, it's very different. You know, the oil does have healing properties if it's used correctly. You know, if you use anything correctly, if I use my knife and fork incorrectly, I can kill somebody, right? But if you use it correctly, it's a good thing. And so we have to take each situation and each product uniquely and see how it works.
Brilliant stuff. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It's coming up for the top of the hour. I'm going to take a 60-second break, no more than that. When we come back, we have comments and more terrific questions from our listeners. You're listening to The Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com, broadcasting live on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester, TuneIn Radio, and of course davidicke.com. Bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. Our guests even today are Janet and Stuart Swerdlow. Wonderful people. Check out extensions.com. Going to tweet that out shortly. When we come back, more of your questions and more of your comments with Janet and Stuart. So don't go anywhere. Back in exactly 60 seconds.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
This
a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back to the program. Yes, I did say extensions, didn't I? It's expansions.com, expansions.com. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, our guests from Michigan. Sorry about that, guys. I can be a Muppet some of the day anyway. Listen, we have a lot of tweets coming in on this, and we obviously read out everything, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. A listener under the Twitter handle Rattlecans, I wish people would have the courage to tweet under their real name, especially when they're being negative. This listener tweeted, "If only the folks in Iraq had stayed positive, those great big bombs would have been repelled by positive energy." Loads of sarcasm there. He or she is obviously not listening. That's not what you're saying at all, right?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because the way I was raised was actually where that God is positive. And so when I went out into the world and I started smiling at people and doing what I thought was the correct thing, I had a lot of problems, obviously. You know, people saw me as a target, and sometimes they still do, I guess. But I did have to learn that all things come from one source, positive and negative. And so there is something within those people, as Stuart had said, the victim mentality mind pattern of this entire planet that's going to draw that on. So no, a smile is not going to repel a bomb, just like a smile is not going to pay my bills. But the thing is we have to dig inside and find out why we are attracting it to start with. And oftentimes, as Stuart says earlier, that it does come from another lifeline, another influence, and people don't really want to go there and look. But on this planet, there are so many different experiences because there are so many different people who have chosen to come here and experience exactly that. Yes, having a bomb dropped on them. For what reason? That you have to go to source to find out.
Really good stuff. Thanks for answering that, Janet. And, you know, it was sarcastic. But of course, you know, the people in Iraq are not responsible for that. But we have a responsibility for it. And I absolutely endorse what you guys said earlier on about us attracting it into our lives. These types of governments, these leaders, these murderers. And I totally get that. Brilliant questions coming in. I'm thrilled. Expansions.com is the website. Bookmark it. A lot of free stuff on there. Really important stuff. I was looking over it the last couple of days specifically in advance of Janet and Stuart coming on. This is a great question. What about the colours that we wear and that we paint? Now, Janet, you talked earlier on about green. It's a great question, isn't it? Can the colours we choose help?
And, you know, the thing is people want to be quote unquote psychic. Well, as I explained earlier, you don't want to be psychic because that uses your own energy. However, the colors that you wear each have a frequency, and those frequencies generally, when people wear those colors, it is a statement of mind pattern
and emotion.
And so what we do is we teach you to be more cognizant of the colors that you wear and the reasons for that. So without doing anything other than looking at somebody's colors that they're wearing and what part of the body they're wearing it on, using our books, they can very easily determine what's going on around them and on themselves. Most people don't know what's in their own mind pattern.
You know, if somebody is really angry and frustrated, they're going to wear a red color, you know, and that doesn't make it bad. It just means they're reflecting what they're feeling.
Bright red.
Yeah. So they need to just be aware of the color and understand it and do something about changing the mind pattern and emotion.
And on the positive side, if they may have very low energy, so they wear bright red for that reason to help boost the energy.
But so that you and the listeners know, Janet and I are in the final stages of completing a huge volume of alternative medicine book, the largest alternative medicine volume ever written. And that should be out hopefully no later than October.
Fantastic. And when that becomes available, of course, you'll come on the program to talk about it. and we'll promote the bejesus out of it, as the old saying goes, in the old country. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow are our guests. It's great to have them on. It really is. That's incredible about the colours and the colours you choose to wear. I find myself wearing a lot of light and dark blues. I don't know why. I don't think I have the blues. And I used to wear a lot of black. I used to think it was cool to wear black. I used to wear black, but it's light blues these days. I don't have any fashion sense. That's the way it goes.
Light blue or ice blue is a color of communication. So when you're wearing an icy blue or light blue color, that would indicate there's something that you need to express. Now, if you wear a medium blue, that is male energy. So you might want to be looking at encouraging your hormonal system or something to that effect. But the darker blues you need to look at, if it's a royal blue color, then that would imply hyperspace energy. But navy blue would be negative emotions or anxiety, particularly in reference to something coming up in the future.
Could also be navy blue, could also be programming.
Fantastic. This is great stuff. So many great questions coming in. And because this area of research is new, and of course I'm not a researcher, I'm a journalist, and I speak with people like yourselves who do the hard work, put in the hard lines, as it were, and I speak to them. So I'm not a researcher, but this area is still relatively new to me and I'm fascinated by it. And because I'm inexperienced, I'm worried about wasting time with questions that are not as important as other questions, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Janet, I've been asked to put to you, what do you think the difference is between psychic and somebody who's intuitive? That's a good question, that.
Well, it's a very good question, you know, and it's something that I explored very early on, I'd say in my early 20s, because when I was younger, I would say growing up, my father wouldn't let me go to a psychic because he said that psychics would steal my energy. But I couldn't wait to go to a psychic because I wanted to meet somebody who knew more about me than I knew about me. And I went to many different psychics and nobody that I ever found knew more about me than I knew about me. And I was so disappointed. So the more I studied the energy, the more I recognized, as I told you earlier, and I do have this defined in my Decoding Your Life book, that the psychic energy is the energy you use to run your body. And I have felt people take their psychic energy and try to, and not so much anymore, of course, because I've learned more about protection as the older I've gotten, but they take their psychic energy, their personal energy, they push it right into your field, and they get energy and they get information from you, and they pull it back and they read it. This is why a lot of psychics have a lot of health and illnesses issues, because they have all this junk on them from other people. In fact, at one time in my life, I did hands-on healing where I actually touched people and I could remove their stuff. And I found out I was getting blood clots in my arms. So I stopped. And so now I only go up to the universal source where we all have that energy access, and that is the clean energy. So there's a big difference between universal and psychic, and people who call themselves psychic hold themselves down more into the animal mind, whereas we go up higher into the universal energy, and it is available to everyone, and that is what we teach people. We don't say we are better, we know more or we're better. It's just we've used it, we have practice. You can do it as easily as we can. There's no secret.
Really good. So intuitive. And somebody who is intuitive, we're talking, Stuart, we're kind of talking empaths, aren't we? Natural empaths, people who can identify with people very quickly. Or am I off the mark there?
Well, an empath is someone who energetically assumes the pain and feeling of the other person.
Right.
For the purposes of healing. I think that's also not a very good way of doing things.
No, that's exactly what I describe with the psychic energy. You're pulling somebody else's psychic energy into you and exploring it, and then that can make you sick.
Yeah, I think that people need to learn to be detached and to be observers instead of mixing their energies together, which can contaminate both parties. So we need to learn protection techniques. We need to go higher above the situation and look at it from a different perspective, a wider perspective, so we can see all of the factors involved instead of just the person themselves.
Really good. Loads of tweets on colours, on all of this. Daniel tweets that he agrees colours are frequencies. This is why Satanists use black and red in their rituals, part of creating an energetic environment, tweets Daniel. Angela tweets, I wear red when I need to raise my energy. Or when I'm happy. On marching and anger, Mike tweets, marching is the same as voting. It makes not one iota of difference. It's just slaves pleading to the slave masters as well. Luga tweets, the issue is most people are ignorant about frequency constructs and the nature of the universe. A lot of comments, by the way, on frequency and vibration and energy as well. Keep those tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. richie@richieallen.co.uk is the email address. The time is 9 minutes past the hour. We've got just under 40 minutes left with Janet and Stuart. Go to expansions.com. Do keep those tweets coming in. Hey guys, speaking of alternative medicine and this book that's coming out in October, which I'm really looking forward to, and we'll talk about that, of course, then. There's a war on it, isn't there, at the moment? I mean, it's never been under as much pressure from governments, from regulation, from big pharma. A huge squeeze on natural remedies and natural medicines right now, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because right now I'm working and joined an organization based in the Caribbean where the laws are very different than the rest of the world. And we work there in an alternative healing center. And we are bringing in doctors and medical people from all over the world, including, by the way, a doctor who was working for the royal family, and another one who is working at the Vatican. And even though these are Illuminati agencies, these people that are working in this organization are looking for alternative procedures and protocols. And I will tell you that there is an effort underway globally for those in the alternative medical field. And by the way, when I say that, these are people who have conventional medical degrees of one type or another, who realize that the conventional medicine is actually killing people, and so is big pharma, and so they are turning their information and their knowledge to the alternative side and bringing in the natural indigenous cures for all diseases. And I myself have recently received my doctorate in alternative medicine, and I am working with these people as well, and I have many, many projects planned for the rest of this year and beyond. So there's a lot of exciting things to look forward to. What else can I tell you?
Well, I would like to also add that what's interesting is when we have had the opportunity to speak to Indigenous people, when we talk about our color therapy, the tones and the archetypes, they all agree with what we are doing. And so it's always interesting to me to see that here Stuart and I have this body of information that we have tapped into, and we are bringing into this reality from our perspective and our level, that when we talk to the Indigenous peoples, they're doing the same thing and they have forever.
Really good, guys. It really is. I'm thrilled you're both on. Janet, great to have you on the program. David Harrison tweets this. Richie, ask Janet and Stuart if they know of biomagnetism, healing with magnets discovered by Dr. Is it Galls or Guys in Mexico in 1988? I have a magnetic bracelet. I don't know whether it works or not, but I have anyway. What do you think, biomagnetism?
Well, you know, the human body is made up of that. We are electromagnetic, biomagnetic. That is what runs the energies of the body. But here again, you know, we have to use it wisely, because too much can be very dangerous as well and overload the nervous system and create issues in the brain. And wearing it in one specific part of the body for too long of a period of time can also cause irritations, edemas, and other problems in particular areas of the body. So we need to be very wise in how we apply this energy.
And, you know, I have a exercise in one of the books called Green Psychic Flush, when we talk about psychic energy. And that is one of the way where you can feel your own energy. It's similar to if you went to an acupuncturist or an acupressurist, but you do it yourself to open your energy lines and to get rid of the knots and so forth. So the more aware you are of how your own psychic energy feels as it runs through your body, then when you put on these things, let's say like a magnetic bracelet or whatever, you'll know automatically where it should go or not go, or how does it feel or does it not feel, rather than just throwing it on because somebody said it works, because it's no different than the other things we were talking about earlier. In its rightful place, it has a purpose. But too many people, I say too many good people, are doing incorrect things and hurting other people unknowingly.
tell you what, we've had some questions about vaccines. So I'm going to get to that now. It's 14 minutes past the hour. It's Wednesday, the 28th of June, 2017. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Live on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester. Tune in radio as well. We're joined today by Janet and Stuart Swerdlow. Delighted to be joined by them. Check out expansions.com. They have a forthcoming book, which will arrive sometime in October, about alternative medicine. A massive tome, Janet and Stuart have said. We look forward to that. Vaccines, guys. You know, I was doing the monologue earlier on and I was talking about state aid. The United Kingdom spends about £14 billion a year on state aid or foreign aid. Now, I did a bit of homework and I found out that, of course, Janet and Stuart, if you were Mr. and Mrs. Smith and you only get your information from the BBC, you would imagine that state aid or foreign aid is a fluffy thing. It's a nice thing. We send money to people, God love them, who don't have very much. Well, of course, that's not the truth. State aid, at least from the UK anyway, is vaccines. We spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds a year giving money to third world countries, but on the condition, with the caveat, that they buy vaccines from big pharmaceutical companies. Vaccines and the vaccination program is absolutely massive, at least as far as I can see and as far as I can think. And these vaccines are not vaccinating us against illnesses, but they're changing us. They're changing our biological makeup. Do you want to talk about vaccines for a few minutes?
Yes, absolutely correct. Everything that you said, these vaccines contain poisons, toxins that destroy the liver, the kidney, the brains. They alter your DNA. They shorten your lifespan. They shorten the telomeres in your DNA. These vaccines also weaken the mind and open up the pineal gland and crown chakras so that it allows the scalar transmissions of mind control to enter into the head and control the body and the mind. So that's really what's behind all of that. And basically, the global elite or the New World Order is trying to create biological robots in every country, every continent, so that they can be controlled, manipulated, shorten their lifespan, because that way they can't learn too much if they have a long, if they have a shorter period of time. And so this is what's going on. And I will also tell you that they are putting nanoparticles in all kinds of drugs, in food products, in medicines, everything that you can think of that they send to other countries. It is for the purpose of control. It's nothing to do with health, nothing to do with helping people or raising up their consciousness. It's all about control and enslavement.
What was interesting was we were in El Salvador many years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago.
And there was a huge billboard up there dedicated to Bill Gates for giving billions of dollars to El Salvador. I was like, really?
Because we couldn't tell that it had improved any.
Yeah. This is the thing, you see. And Gates, along with the World Bank, were responsible for the UK enshrining in law this foreign state aid every year. It used to be left up to each individual government, Janet and Stuart. You know, each individual government, each 5 years or whatever, would decide, well, we'll give this or we'll give that. It became enshrined in law, and Gates was huge in determining that. And I did a bit of research over the last couple of days, and I found out that, and this is the truth, most of the money, over 60% of it, goes to vaccination programs. While people here, people born with disabilities who need state assistance, genuine people, are knocked back and are left starved, we're vaccinating the world, changing the biological makeup of people. Go ahead, Janet.
Yes, I was just going to say, Stuart and I were just talking about this a couple of days ago. Whenever they're done with what they would call our first world countries, then they're targeting the second and third world to do the same thing to them that they've done to us. So therefore, they're just preparing them, that's all.
Absolutely. Scott tweets, by the way, let me find that tweet there. So many tweets are coming in, you see. Tweet at Richie Allen Show, email richie@richieallen.co.uk. I'm going to find that tweet. Expansions.com, Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, our guests today. Absolutely great to have them on the programme. After a week of hard news, this is exactly what the doctor ordered. No pun intended whatsoever. Scott tweeted, regarding the law of attraction, In my humble opinion, says Scott, we attract what we are, not what we want. Vibration attracts the same. That echoes what you said earlier on, Janet.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. And the issue is most people, if they get, you know, some mud pie in their face, they think, oh, my God, I'm not like this. What did I do to deserve it? And so this is why we have to go within and see, again, find the victim mentality, the low self-worth, those kind of things. And I usually say that most people are the same song, different verse. And that's why universal law applies. And that's why that Stuart and I are so good at what we do when we help people figure out what's going on within them. Exactly for what this gentleman is saying.
I'm very honest. I get angry. I do. I get angry. Not as much as I used to. I'm 42 now. I used to be much more angry. When I began to understand that most, when I worked in commercial mainstream radio and I began to understand that much or most of what I'd been telling people in my daily programs, you know, to a large audience, I was very angry and that anger stayed with me for a long time. And even today, when I see injustice or when I see charlatans, you know, I come across charlatans, Janet, Stuart, you know who they are, people who operate within the independent media, and they only exist to build a false impression of themselves, to suck people in, to take money from people. You know who they are, I know who they are, and I get angry, I get mad. I do.
I understand that, and I had a situation that happened here in the fall, something that was, I'll just say, residual from some years ago. And it made me very upset. And I realized that how much resentment I still had and how much anger I still had. And I realized that this person who did whatever this person did, if it hadn't been that person, again, going back to what David told us, there would be another one. So it wasn't that person, it was me. I had to figure out what I was still doing to attract these kind of situations. And it goes along the same way with every person that exists. And if it's political, if it's injustice, you know, the people do horrible things to children and all kinds of things. However, if you go on the oversoul level and if you see what has happened in other lifelines, you know, maybe the mother that got a child killed in front of her, maybe in another lifeline, she did that to somebody else. So we don't really have a right to judge it. We can ask, and if it's for us to know, we'll know why. If we could prevent it, we would have. We didn't prevent it. There's a reason it exists. That person needs the experience. Why? People need to ask more questions, and then you will understand, and that will help to mitigate these feelings of anger, and as I said, justified anger that you have, rightfully so.
And also, I want to add, as you mentioned, that you work in conventional radio and or media, and the huge corporations like BBC and CNN and Fox News and all the global news agencies are purposely creating stories or embellishing stories to make people angry, upset, and fearful. And the reason they do that is because it opens the mind for control and programming. And that's the bottom line of the whole thing. So when we see a story or a situation that makes us upset and angry and feeling hurt, we must stop and realize, first of all, why was this story projected out? And what is within us that is accepting it and allowing us to see it and understand it? So that's the bottom line. I think people need to make a list of every person, place, and thing that bothers them in any capacity. And then one by one, look at that list and every line on there and ask yourself, what of this is inside of me? And why am I projecting this out? And I am going to fix it and remove it and release it so this is no longer part of myself or my environment.
Really, and most people have issues with their parents. That's really where they're, or their parental figure. So we take people back. We give them exercises. I mean, I don't want to be misleading that we personally don't do it, but we give them exercises so they can go back. They can make peace with their points of origin. They can understand why they chose the parents that they did, the life stream that they did, the time and place that they did. So they begin to release what they no longer need, put in what they do need. They start to make the changes internally. So when they see these things, they understand why. And that is a very big challenge. As I said, you know, positive thinking is not what people think it is. It changes lives. It upsets things. You know, you have to get down and scrub on the bottom of your pot. And that sometimes is really yucky, ucky stuff that we all have inside.
You might remember a few years ago, the big splash was that book, The Biggest Secret, and the movie that came out.
That's right.
And the premise of it was, well, if you just focus on the positive and you put things up on your bulletin board and you think about it, you'll just make it happen. And bottom line was, it didn't work. It failed, and you don't hear about it anymore. Why did it fail? Because before you build up something good and wonderful, you have to remove the garbage foundation that's underneath it. If you put up a beautiful house on a collapsing foundation, it's not going to last very long. So the first thing we all need to do is remove the negative, remove the garbage and junk that's within, clear it out, and then we can create wonderful things.
And then
that's
on
what
from
we
there.
Teach people to do, is to create a foundational mind pattern that will support the life that they came here to lead, not that the one that they want, but the one that they came here for. And you have to look at every aspect of self and understand it. Neither positive nor negative, without judgment. It is what it is. Now, what do we do about it?
Now, Janet, I'm going to ask you back on again in the near future to talk, because you said something a minute ago that I'm very interested in, but I'm aware it's very controversial. You talked about choosing our parents. And we won't get into it now, and I'm not censoring anybody, but we just won't have time to get into it. It deserves more time, and I think it's fascinating, and I'm really keen to get into it, and we might do that in the near future. So I just want to mark that one, because that's very interesting there. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow are on the line. Field Mouse tweets, @lone_horse. I've heard of respected healers teaching to visualise a better past, to heal childhood trauma. Surely this is mind control, ? This is new to me. I didn't realise that this was practised, but I'm open to it. I had a pretty traumatic childhood myself. Are people teaching people to visualise a past that was better than the one that you actually had as a way of healing? And if so, is it mind control? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a very interesting question, because, again, I will say there are a lot of really good, I don't know who these people are, but there are a really lot of good people doing things that can harm. So with that said, I will tell you that it's very challenging for us as a person, as an individual, to visualize a better path. That's why we have to go higher, up to the oversoul level, up to the source level, whatever you want to call it, and look down from above. Because sometimes what you think is a really wonderful path, I'm sure we've all done it, is not so good at the end of it. So therefore, we go up higher, we ask that whatever is most correct and beneficial, that is what is the new path that will open for us.
I think that you said visualize a better past, P-A-S-T?
Yes, that's right, Stuart, yeah.
Oh, past. I did misunderstand, yes. So then let me address that, because your past is what it is.
You can't change it.
You need to look at it. It's not, you wouldn't have had that if you didn't need it. The issue is most people run from it. You sign up to come here and go to school, and then you get your class, and then you throw your hands up in the air and you go, oh my God, this is too tough. They change their name, they change where they live, they don't associate with their parents and their families anymore. And I tell people, you must embrace all aspects of the God mind, and that includes your parents. They are your point of origin. You chose them, and as you said, we can talk about that on another show.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But
definitely,
there is
yeah.
a reason that you have that past. You must come to terms with it.
And if I also may say, I think that the person is right as far as it being mind control, because in so doing, visualizing a better past is basically creating a mask memory, a fake memory over the foundation that is not going to go away. And sooner or later, it's going to fester and knock the whole house of cards down. So you really need to look at the actual events and work on those. And the covering it up is just, when you cover up poop, it still smells.
I think so. Absolutely correct. But I will say about poop, one of my favorite subjects, is that is the fertilizer from which your new experiences grow. So you want to remember that. The excrement, it will break down, and that will fertilize for better and new growth. So it has its place as well.
Really good stuff. It's 28 minutes past the hour. We've only got 20 minutes left on this. I'm not being negative in saying that. I'm just pointing that out. So if you've got a point of view, that you'd like me to put to Stuart and Janet, do tweet it to at Richie Allen Show. That's at Richie Allen Show. Tweet it now. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow are our guests. The website is expansions.com. Thanks to all the tweets that have come in. A number of people talking about behaviour in past lives leading to negative experiences in this life. Again, I'd love to get into that with Janet in a couple of weeks' time as well. Or I'm looking at the diary, maybe in late July, that'd be a good time to do that. Janet and Stuart have a book coming out in October about alternative medicine, and we look forward to that, and we will, of course, get them back on the programme to talk about that at that time as well. Paul tweets, 200 years ago, they abolished slavery. They enslaved all of us by making us believe in money. We've got to change how money works. And I guess Paul is talking about change our relationship with money. Stuart, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Because we all have to eat.
Yes, but you know, money is just an energy, and we can create it at will, mentally. People say to me, well, what can I do to make more money? What should I do? I can't. First of all, you must release the mind patterns of self-sabotage, low self-worth, and all the negative abandonment issues and isolation issues that have developed either in this lifetime or in others. But I say, what should you do in your life? You should do what you love, no matter what that is. If you love cleaning toilet bowls, then do that. Because if you do what you love every day, then you have everything that you ever want and need, and you're happy, and you get the financial value. So I think that it's a good idea to do release the self-sabotage, the self-punishment, and look at the what you do as you love.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is there is this quote unquote spiritual idea that money is bad, and so I also address this in my Decoding Your Life book, because as Stuart said, money is simply energy and it is a representation, and that is actually a mind control that the global elite have given the populace, so that the populace, they don't want money because money's bad, money's the root of all evil, so on and so forth. And money is part of this experience that we all need in order to trade with each other for what you have and I have. And money in some form or another has existed throughout all of society. So in my opinion, money is fabulous. It's wonderful. I love it just as I love all aspects of the society, because it all has a place.
Right. I have a question for both of you coming in from Lainey. I don't know if Lainey is a man or a woman. Must be a woman, I think. Lainey. This is a really good question. Lainey says, this is music festival season right across Europe, the major summer music festivals at venues holding 60, 70, 80,000 people. I am amazed at the amount even of occult symbolism on display. Young men and women, pop stars of the noughties, of the 2000s and 2010s, wearing Illuminati symbology, the all-seeing eye, the pyramids, everything. What's going on, Richie? Ask Stuart and Janet. That's from Lainey. Great question, that.
That's a very good question. It's something that we talk a lot about on our weekly podcast, especially me. I'm always watching the symbolism that's out there, because remember, these icons have been chosen to be icons. They change their names. You know, they change their appearances, just like you and I would change clothes, because they're bringing out different altars within themselves. They're bringing out different altars within their audience. They are preparing for new world religion. The music is changing the frequency of the physical structure, which opens them up to more and more programming and makes them slaves. So I think it's very astute observations that this person is making.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, a lot of the music is embedded with subliminals, so that you listen to them and subconsciously you're being programmed.
And these symbols, because, you know, I've probably four times in the last year I've been to David's all-day presentations. I saw it in London. I saw it on the Isle of Wight. I saw it in Amsterdam. I saw it here in Manchester. And fascinated every time he talks about the effect that these symbols have on us, on our psyche, the effects they have on us biologically and physically. These symbols, they resonate, they make noise, they communicate, don't they? They have a message.
You know, yes, we talk about in our work, what we teach people the language of the mind of God, which is color, tone, and archetype. And as I said earlier, the global elite, they know these rules, and that's what they're using against you. They're not using for you. We teach color, tone, and archetype to help elevate you, not to hold you down. We teach you how to get your own, how to understand what's happening. This is, as you said, we can talk about it on another show, but same with dream symbolism. You know, everything has a meaning and many meanings, and that's what we teach people how to do and what to do, but it is throughout all of our work to elevate you, not to control you.
So many questions coming in, so many tweets on this subject as well. 26 minutes to the top of the hour. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow. Stuart, it's unfair to comment on somebody who isn't here to defend herself, but Katy Perry's name keeps coming up. And again, we talk about mind control, and I've heard from, and this is the gospel, this is the absolute truth, I've heard from two very, very well-known Hollywood actors, actresses, producers, in the time that I've been making this programme. I begged one of them to come on the programme, and he wouldn't because of the adverse effects it would have on his career. But he said to me, people like that are undoubtedly under the influence of heavy mind control. People like Katy Perry and others. So it's difficult and it's unfair to comment on somebody who isn't here to defend himself or herself. But Stuart, it's kind of obvious, isn't it, when you see people like that?
Well, I talk about this in some of my books, especially in 13 Cube and True Reality of Sexuality. These very famous entertainers are what we call programming icons, so that the masses or sections of the masses are programmed to follow along with these certain entertainment leaders, if you will. So whatever they do, whatever they believe, then the masses do the same. Just as you remember a few years ago, I think it was, what was the name of that singer that shaved her head?
Sinead O'Connor.
She did, next day, hundreds of thousands of people across the world shaved their heads.
Or Britney. It was Britney, wasn't it? Most recently, it was Britney Spears. That's right.
Britney Spears, that's right.
I see how old I am. Decades ago, it was Sinead O'Connor.
I'm a lot older than you.
You are. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, you're right. It was Britney, and people copied it, didn't they?
Monkey see, monkey do. And so that's what happens. These are all programming icons. Like they have said, this person that comes from this place, the unknown and unknown over here and unknown over there, that's baloney. They're all known and they're all groomed to play these particular parts. And then they play them very, very well. Miley Cyrus is one of my favorites. You know, look how that all the young girls followed her. And then she, all of a sudden she changed and the young girls did too. So there is a reason why they're out there. Monkey see, monkey do.
Unbelievable. You know, we could have done hours here. We really could have done that because to say that the Twitter feed has been absolutely inundated is an understatement. We have had an enormous amount of tweets on this tonight. It's great to have Janet and Stuart Swerdlow on the programme. Millie tweets, Richie, I said to a wiser man than me, money is the root of all evil. He rightly corrected me that evil is the root of all money. That from Millie. Any comment, guys, on that?
I don't agree with that because, as I mentioned, money is just an energy. It's how you use it. Again, I could take a pen and write beautiful poetry, or I could throw it at your head. You know, it's not the pen's fault. It's what I do with that energy. And so we can't say money is the root of all evil or anything is. It's all about how you apply any energy, because it all comes from the God mind. You know, people say to me, well, if I just love the Illuminati or send aliens love, they'll just go away. No, that's not correct, because you could take love. I can love you unconditionally, or I could love you to death. It's the same energy. It's how it's applied. So we need to really understand that energy itself is neutral, and its application is what we do with it.
And in my opinion, when I hear people making statements like that, and we do hear that because we do charge money for our services, then what I understand is this, that these people do not value themselves, and therefore they're not valuing the representation, which is the money, however we want to make that. What that is, as I mentioned earlier, one way that the global elite keeps the populace from having money, because now the populace says, I don't want money. But the global elite want money. That's why we pay heavy taxes. You know, that's why, you know, they're flying around in all kinds of you know, Air Force Ones and at the expense of the people and yachts and so on and so forth. But the populace is, oh, no, money's wrong. Money's bad. I shouldn't have that. Well, hey, that works for the global elite, doesn't it?
Yeah. Everyone is entitled to abundance of all sorts. And it's simply a question of having the right mind pattern in order to attract that. And, you know, recently I was at a medical congress on the island of Nevis, and we learned that the Earth produces 7 times the amount of food that it needs, even now. So there's no reason for any hunger to exist. It's simply that the distribution of the food is misapplied, wrongly applied in an incorrect way. Same thing with disease. There is a cure for every single illness that exists, but it's not applied properly because of people who are in control of it and they're being allowed to be in control.
Because of the populace and the mind patterns that are emanating forth from them are not allowing it to penetrate. So therefore, it doesn't matter how much is there. If you're saying, well, hey, I don't need money, money's bad. But hey, you need money to go to the grocery store. You need money for lights. You know, you need money to have your garbage picked up. So therefore, do we want to label this a bad thing? It all comes from one source.
It's interesting that, and again, we could do a lot on this. That's another program in itself, again, and there are a lot of questions coming in on it. We've only got just over 5 minutes left with Janet and Stuart today. Expansions.com is their website. Go to it and bookmark it. Evading Grid on Twitter tweets, money in itself is neutral, but creation of new money at interest is usury, and that is bad, says Evading Grid. So much on this. Luga tweets, I like to share freely. Money is the system's energy, that of those who created us. Slaves, screw money. Never love control. We shouldn't love control. A lot of people think that money is, you know, is a control mechanism. Again, Janet and Stuart have explained what they think about it. It's an energy. Again, so many tweets. Tony Hewitson tweets, this is good. Is universal law the same as natural law?
Well, there is the law of nature, which is a physical law, and we go up above that to spiritual law. Physical law actually is more tied into the animal mind, which we haven't even touched on this subject, and that's where the mind control is centered, controlled by the reptilian brainstem. I teach people how to get a hold of the animal mind, use it to serve them versus vice versa, and go up and touch into source and get your information from there.
God, I'm caught between, there's 3 or 4 different questions coming in, and we've only got a few minutes left, and I'm just caught between, you know, just a lot on money, a lot on anger, a lot on vibration and energy as well. Jenny tweets, by the way, I'm so happy to hear Janet and Stuart together on your show. What they are saying about money is true. I've studied under them and they are right. That's Jenny Weeks there. Thank you, Jenny, for that as well. Deborah tweets, androgyny is at the heart of the agenda. I think Deborah might be talking about Katy Perry, because Mark tweeted that Katy Perry has morphed into a kind of a he-she, a sexual being far removed from her former feminine look. And there were a couple of points on the agenda to neutralise gender and to have a kind of a gender-neutral society. We don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but it's something we could explore, Stuart, in future programmes. It's very interesting, isn't it?
Yes, and I've written about that in my Blue Blood book and True World History book, True Reality of Sexuality, and I've spoken extensively with David about this, and we know that the reptilians are an androgynous species, male and female in the same body, and so for reasons that they have, they believe this is superior to the differentiation of sexuality of male and female in the mammalian life forms, and so they want to create an androgyny in the New World Order and the New World Religion, etc., so that also makes people more reptilian. But in addition to that, it takes away self-identity. Because then, if you don't know if you're male or female, if you don't know what religion you are, what nationality you are, or what race you are, then you can only go along by what the government tells you that you are. And so, and that is why even in many countries now, there's a big debate on whether making it illegal to use the wrong gender
the pronoun.
The pronoun when you speak to someone, you could be in trouble for that.
And we talk about this a lot on our podcast. For those who are interested, go back and review some of them or watch them moving forward.
And the podcasts, of course, are available and can be found at expansions.com. We're just about out of time, Em. It was great catching up with you again, Stuart, and it was wonderful to meet you today, Janet. I've read a lot about you and heard a lot about you over the time I've known David. Before we go, when I say are we winning, I don't mean that to be a glib, cliched question. When I say are we winning, I mean are we approaching a place or a time where there'll be an elevation in our consciousness collectively where we'll be able to, you know, once and for all, stop talking about the problems and the issues and move into a place where we begin to solve and where we begin to find solutions. Are we going to get there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to address that just briefly because, you know, this is a topic I talk about on my blogs, on my member side of the website quite often. And in my opinion, the earth is designed to exist as it exists, as an obstacle course to make us stronger. So you can either fight the obstacle course or you can learn to navigate the obstacle course. And then in my opinion, the soul personality may move along to some other reality rather than just stay here on this planet Earth.
Three things that I tell everybody that comes to my classes. Number one, there's nothing to fear. Two, you cannot do anything wrong. And three, you are always loved. And people question the not being able to do anything wrong. And the reason is because even if you lose, you win. It's all about the lessons and everything that happens to you, no matter how offensive or negative you may feel it is. Remember that you attracted it, that you are supposed to learn from it and move on so that it doesn't happen again. So every experience, no matter what it is positive for you, even if it's uncomfortable.
It's valuable.
Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, fantastic stuff. Thanks for coming on the program and giving us so much time today. Folks, go to expansions.com. You'll find out all you need to know about Janet and Stuart. A lot of free stuff on there as well. And check out the podcasts. Terrific work. Thank you both. I really mean that. And I look forward to doing it again real soon.
Thank you for having us on.
It was an honour. Thank you, guys. Janet and Stuart Swerdlow there, live from Michigan. Expansions.com is the website. Get on there now. Great to have them on the programme today. We're going to take a very quick break back with some more of your comments in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back to the program. It's Wednesday's show. It is the 28th of June 2017. My name is Richie Allen, and this is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on DavidIke.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio. JP tweets, "You can't do anything wrong." Murder? A bit brazen, you hurt others, that's wrong, end of. Seems to be a lot of opinion, says JP. But then again, JP, you've been listening to this programme long enough, mate. The programme is all about opinions, isn't it? It's about opinions, my opinions, your opinions, and the opinions of the guests. And we like to hear from everybody. So we do. Hi to Jay Ferguson as well. Daniel tweets that one of the most, if not the most fascinating subjects for him is reality and interacting with reality. Thank you, Daniel. Hi to Anne Selly. Thanks for the tweet, Anne. From John McDonnell. John McDonnell has tweeted, he's the Labour shadow chancellor. He tweeted at about 28 minutes past seven that the Conservatives and the DUP voted together to oppose Labour's policy to give emergency and public service workers a fair pay rise. Utter disgrace, says John McDonnell. You see, what John McDonnell will never tell you, because you see, he's an agitator. He's a champagne socialist, John McDonnell, just like his best friend Jeremy Corbyn. What these guys will never tell you, and I don't care who I'm offending now, I'm telling you as I see it, is that these guys talk about funding this, that, this and that, and this and that, and we'll fund this and we'll fund that, but they can't do that without borrowing from the Bank of England. Do you understand? So however well-meaning and well-intentioned McDonnell and Corbyn are, they are equal slaves to the system as Theresa May and Philip Hammond, because they will go cap in hand to the Rothschilds to say, I need £80 billion, by the way, this year. I need £30 billion this year, in fact, because I need to fund this and that. They will be loaned that money at massive interest. It can never be repaid. And then the satanic banksters will come and say, you can't pay. Well, you're going to have to force even more austerity on people. And of course, this will happen after Labour are voted out of power. Imagining a scenario where Corbyn is in government. So he'll be out of government. The Conservatives will get back in and they will say, oh, all that money was borrowed. Now it has to be paid back through austerity and through the sale of state assets like the Royal Mail and everything else that was sold off by the criminal George Osborne, the pigeon fancier. So don't be listening to McDonnell and Corbyn. They are another part of the system, of the ludicrous electoral system that we have. They serve only one purpose, to convince you that there's a genuine option. There's a genuine chance for democracy. No, there isn't. No, there isn't. This really angers me. This garbage. McDonnell, oh, they stop this and they stop that. Well, McDonnell, you're not going to do anything other than what Tony Blair and Gordon Brown did. Admittedly, you might not go to war with another country, that's a good thing, but you're going to borrow from the banksters. That's what you're going to do. You're going to borrow lots instead of issuing money debt-free from the government, issued by the country, not borrowed from any bank. It's the only time I get mildly arrogant, me. I know a lot about money and about currencies and financial transactions. All these wonderful, sexy terms, derivatives, all this stuff. I know this stuff off by heart. I know how tyranny could be ended. It could be ended tomorrow. Government gets in, says, right, first of all, the banks can go and fuck off. So can the European Union. From today, we will fund the building of millions of houses for people to live in at very, very affordable rents. How will we do that? Well, we will employ building companies right across the country to do that. They will put young men and women to work. Those young men and women will spend in their cities and in their towns. They will bring up the area. And don't tweet inflation at me because you don't know what you're talking about. This is how it works. And then the money you get from the income you get from those houses where people are paying an affordable rent, what they can afford, right? That money then, along with the very, very small taxation, you don't even need to tax people really, to be honest about it. You could have a 1% levy on every transaction if you wanted. You can pay for everything. You can pay for all the schools you want, all the hospitals you need, so long as you take the printing of money and the control of money away from central banks. It's as simple as that. But Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, however nice you might think they are, will never ever discuss that, will never discuss or ask a question in Parliament about the creation of money. It's as simple as that. I know it's a rant, I know it's a soapbox, I know you've heard it before, but I need to keep saying this. I'm tired of people coming to me with, you know, stories, and I'm not talking about Anne Selly at all, I'm talking about anybody, stories about Corbyn and McDonnell and, oh, they're standing up, they're taking on the establishment. No, they're not. They are the establishment. They are the establishment. The minute they go to the Bank of England and ask for 300 billion or 30 billion quid to fund their public services or to fund their manifesto, they become the system. Simple as that. They are the system. That's nearly it for the programme. Nearly it. Just to tell you, I should have said this at the very beginning, by the way, but I didn't. I was due to be away tomorrow. That's been changed, by the way. So I will be here tomorrow as usual at 7 p.m. British Summer Time, 7 p.m. BST Thursday. So I will be here tomorrow. I said earlier in the week that I was going to be away and that I would do a show on Friday. Forget Friday. I will be here tomorrow at 7 p.m. with the usual two-hour Richie Allen show. It might be next Thursday that I have to take an evening off, in which case I will then do the show on Friday. So that's kind of it then. Do stay in touch with our broadcast partners, davidicke.com. Do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. Check out fabradiointernational.com. Please do that. And also, do spend some time visiting our sponsors. Do check out dataclinic.co.uk and Mark Bajerski. .com. It's vitally important that you support those who do support the independent media and those who support the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. I mentioned yesterday, financially, the programme is not in the best of shape at the moment. This is because of the demonetization by Google of our content on YouTube. We really need your help more than ever. Please go to paypal.me/Richie Allen. To donate. We're on PayPal, paypal.me/Richie Allen, but there are bank account details, bank transfer details on richieallen.co.uk, only if you can. But we're struggling at the moment because we're basically not getting any commercial revenue through Google as we used to do. And despite the enormous listenership we have, because of the content of the programme, we've never been able to attract enough advertisers to pay for the programme. So please help out, folks. It's necessary. Again, if you can't do that and you're not in the position, don't worry about it. Ignore me. Don't think any more of it. Right, this is the end. Back with you tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's 7 p.m. BST on your Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. I've been Richie Allen. Thank you.
I step off the train. I'm walking down your street.